Tuck? Oh, God dang it. I'm still pissed off about that comment you made, you pig.
What? All right, Travis, do you know what Weematuck stands for?
Not a clue.
Chris, do you know what it stands for?
I know what it stands for, smart guy.
Oh, okay, what's it stand for?
It stands for, what do you say, blue skies and mini lakes.
Mini lakes and blue skies. But what happened was I checked with some of my Native American, my indigenous peoples, and I said, hey, what's Weematuck stand for? And they said, why are you asking about hat size 9 1/4?
They did not say that. No, they did not say that. He has this on film. All right, totally. Hook, line, and sinker.
That's
miserable puke.
Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts. Today is October 18th, 2021. If I'd have known the start date, I would have gone with it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all right, so we're back here at the Playing Through Golf Studio at the crossroads of Mercer County. My name is William Starcevich, and I'm joined with
Chris Lopez,
Travis White.
Hey, we're going to kick this one off with the this week's PGA Tour event, which was in Las Vegas, and the name of that event was?
That was the CJ Cup, and it was played at the Summit Club.
And do you guys remember this event from years past? Because it's kind of a new one to me.
I think it was some sort of a charity event or something at the end of the season. It used to be kind of an end of the season thing.
Like the hero event used to be?
Yeah, something like that, or somewhere along those lines.
Wasn't the Shriners open?
You know what? That might have been it.
Was this replace the Shriners?
Yeah.
Maybe. I could see that. In my head.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the purse. I mean, it was almost 10 mil.
Yeah, either way, it was still an official. This is still official PGA money.
Correct.
So, and the winner was?
Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy.
Rory McIlroy, and I believe that was his 20th PGA
correct.
Tour win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still in his 20s, correct?
Yeah, that's, I believe so.
28?
Yep.
So he's done that, got to 20 wins faster than almost everybody, except obviously Tiger. And I'm not sure if Phil got there by the time he was that age.
Yeah.
But the fact that Rory doesn't play exclusively on the PGA Tour, you know, he's got, I don't know how many European Tour wins. So I think this was a good kick in the pants for him. And part of the thing that he was talking about was he's not going to try to do the Bryson DeChambeau, which I think is what he was really trying to do.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to just play my game, and being me is enough.
Yep.
Right. Well, he's got plenty of game. I mean, it's not like the guy's a slouch, but God sakes.
No.
It's all between the ears, really, anymore.
Right, and that happened at, what was that, Colonial or the Masters or both?
Well, both.
Colonial, for sure.
Yeah.
That I remember anyway.
Well, Masters, remember he plonked one in one of the properties, and then he hit one into the creek, and then.
I mean, it wasn't a Greg Norman, but it was still pretty good.
Yeah, it was a blowout.
Yeah. So he kept the pedal down, and the place, what was the winning score again, like 24
under? 25
under. 25 under?
Jesus.
I know that him and my boy Ricky Fowler were paired together, and they went like 62, 63 on Saturday.
Yep.
Freaking amazing, man. You're talking 9 and 10 under.
Yeah.
Now, granted, obviously the place was scoreable because I think there was a bunch of guys 20 under or better.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it? Didn't Abraham answer like go eagle? Like eagle birdie or something like that.
Well, he had an albatross.
An albatross eagle. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
sick.
Yeah, and did you guys see the highlights of that albatross? Dude, it was beautiful. Like it landed on track and dropped, and you're just like, are you?
Yeah.
I can't even
right in the mouth.
Yeah,
right in the mouth.
I mean, eagles are like run of the mill for me and Chris, but an albatross, that's
yeah.
What about you, Travis?
Travis, yeah.
I can't even buy a par.
Hey, we're gonna find out tomorrow. We're going to go play golf tomorrow during the day.
Right.
So we're going to tee off around 1:30.
We're going to try.
It works.
You see where you're at after work, and we can you can catch us on the next 9.
Yeah.
So we won't put any money on it right away, Travis.
I don't think Travis should do that. He shouldn't be betting any money until he's played at least 10
actually,
rounds.
Actually, you know what? The way I felt the last round
he
and a half.
He said he'd give me 10 strokes.
I said 2 strokes.
You said 10.
I can play it back for you, bro.
It's right here on my phone.
10 strokes?
Yes.
No, I want to see that. I want to see that.
It says 2 strokes. So anyway, I thought Ricky Fowler really demonstrated that he is at least back striping the ball. His ball striking was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He didn't score well on Sunday. He lit it up on Saturday with that 62, 63,
somewhere in there.
And he slept on the lead for the first time in a long time and was able to come out. He didn't go low like everybody else, you know, kind of fell behind that way. But I think he was one or two under on the final day. And right there, he was playing with Rory and who else was in that group?
Was that Keith Mitchell?
No, I think it was actually, I think it was Answer.
It might have been. Answer. You know what? You might be right. I think you're right. I think it was Abraham Answer.
So he didn't really light it up that day. Didn't pour him in, but his ball striking that day was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like for him to outdrive Rory on certain holes, it was phenomenal. I mean, he's hitting it out there 340 for a dude that weighs 160 pounds.
Yeah.
He made, what was it? He hit 14 of 14 fairways on Saturday, and I think he only missed one on Sunday.
Right.
That's solid.
And you're hitting it that freaking far at ball speed, you know, in the upper 160s, hitting 170.
Jesus, he really wasn't doing much. I mean, the last few, you know, he had a chance to at least make it into the playoff, and he just couldn't put enough rounds together. But his game was starting to come around in the fall, late in the fall, or late in the summer. And then it's now all of a sudden he's come back out to this thing, and then all of a sudden here he is. So he can't find
You got something to say there, Travis?
I can't find it.
Well, that's because it's 200. It's not. It's two strokes. It is.
Two strokes.
Why would I give you 10 strokes on 9 holes?
Yeah, seriously.
No, that was for 18.
Oh, no. I was talking the match play. I was going to give you two strokes. So the number one and number three or whatever it is, whatever the two hardest.
Yeah.
So.
Jesus.
Wow. He's already trying to get more strokes. Yeah. And you were nervous about the 10, weren't you?
A little bit.
Oh, for God's sake.
No, the way we went down. Now let's finish up with the PGA Tour talk first. I felt really good for Rory getting back in the winner's circle, but I felt even better for my man Ricky Fowler.
Right.
For at least demonstrating that he belongs with those guys.
Well, we've been kind of worried about him.
I have been.
You know, because I mean, really, when you think about the personalities on the tour, and you know, one who's always supported the young players as they won and they, you know, gotten greater fame in terms of winning. You know, he's always the guy that's there greeting him and saying, hey, good job. And even when Tiger, you know, won again.
He loses to Rory on a day where he slept on the lead, and he was right there.
He was first guy there.
First guy there.
Yeah.
Hugging it out with him.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think he's very well liked on the tour.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, he really does support all of them.
I think he really he didn't make didn't qualify for the U.S. Open this year.
Right.
And he tried to do the qualifier route and got bounced, I think, in the second round.
Second round,
So, you know, he didn't get a chance to play in the U.S. Open. He didn't make the Ryder Cup, obviously. And I think that stung because, you know, remember the last few that he'd been on that were, you know, he was kind of, I don't want to say centerpiece, but he really liked that idea.
Yeah.
And playing for country is a big deal to him. If you notice on his arm, when the Olympics were in Brazil, he was an Olympian, and he has the Olympic rings tattooed on his forearm.
Yeah.
Like, he really treated that as a big deal. And take a guess. How old is Ricky Fowler?
He's 31, 32.
32.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't realize he was quite that old, but.
Yeah. I was going to say, like.
Well, he came out a good five.
Because he was, you know.
He had the baby.
He was Bieber.
Face. Yeah.
He was Bieber for so long, and now he's a grown up, man. He's a man now.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a kid on the way.
You know, and the thing is, if he ever does win a major, can you imagine what the players will do for him?
Oh, it'll be, everybody will be circled around.
Oh, yeah, and there won't be a dry eye in the house.
No, it'll be great.
Absolutely no dry eyes in the house. I think he will be welcomed by all of them.
Well, it was great, and okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. If you guys had to pick a player right now, who is the best player in the world today?
Today? I'm going to go Colin Morikawa.
I don't know, man.
That's my I'm saying Colin Morikawa. The display of ball striking this entire week.
Yeah.
And I know he has a house and he's a member of that property.
Right.
But still, you
got to hit the golf.
Yeah, you still got to
hit.
You still got to make the putts too, because they were talking about that. He missed a few putts, and they're like, wow, he should know these greens pretty well. And he missed them on like edges, and they're like, yeah, he should have been.
But he still was only what, one back or two back?
One back.
One back.
Yeah, he was actually sitting there waiting to see if he needed to warm up. Yeah, see if he needed to warm up.
So he was he was 24 under. To me, his performance in the Ryder Cup, how he did at this event, it wouldn't surprise me if we have a Colin Morikawa huge year next year.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, you don't take away that kind of ball striking. You just don't.
Well, and I think that, like we talked about the last episode too, is that, you know, given where some of these guys are playing, you know, next year could be a competitive year.
Yeah, it could be crazy. It could be crazy.
And they showed, what did they show on Twitter yesterday? They showed the President's Cup lineups as they would stand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And they said, if you think the Ryder Cup was bad.
Oh, if you thought that was loud.
Yeah, if you thought the Ryder Cup butt-whooping was bad, you wait till you see the President's Cup. And you look at the names down the President's Cup, and I don't think any of those guys are in the top 50. I mean...
That's sad.
It's sad.
Well, who would be the leaders on the M?
Mm-hmm. A couple of the Asian guys would probably be there. Oh, Cameron Smith, maybe.
Yeah, a couple of the Australian guys. Yeah,
you know, but there really wasn't anybody who would make any noise against our group.
So if you're gonna, I'm just gonna throw this out. Is answer from
Mexico?
Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of players from
mm-hmm.
South America type ish that yep. could be in the President's Cup.
Yeah, Johnny Vegas is actually in there.
Okay.
Yep. So you know, and you know, Vegas is a good player, but
no, not
come on, man.
Yeah, but he's not. If you look at what the U.S. team should be, if we're saying it's the same as the Ryder Cup,
yeah,
what are six of those guys are in the top 12?
Yeah,
you know, like I don't.
Oh, I think it's even better. Than that.
It could be.
I think it's even better than that.
It'll be interesting when it comes to that time.
You know, because you figure Rom takes a place from you know as a European, and I can't think of who else out of that any international Europe whatever. I can't think
of
anybody that would be in that group that we have.
Well, yeah, Rom won't be in that one because he's
in
the European block.
Right.
So, anyway, events still to come this year. There was some rumor about Tiger Woods trying to set his events or trying to set his schedule for his return. So, yes, he's already talking about a return. Like that was ever in doubt that he was going to try.
Right.
There was some rumor that, you know, the father-son shootout, used to be called the Slazenger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what it's called now. But either way, the father-son with him and his son last year, Charlie, I think that's the tentative target. Whether or not he makes it there or not, I don't know.
Yeah, from what we were talking to Jacob the other day about, he said he thought he read something about maybe
that he was trying to
like
set
December
that.
10th or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it seems like more of a Christmassy thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, honestly, unless somebody's actually seen him hit golf balls,
yeah,
I'm not going to believe until he actually steps out onto a course. You know, I mean, he's...
But an event like that...
He doesn't have to do much.
He doesn't have to.
Yeah. No.
I mean, because you think about the last one. I mean, really, he just kind of was there. And
it was the Charlie show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was the Charlie show, and I'm going to chip here, and I'm going to maybe hit a drive here, but...
Yeah.
Well, see, I think that's kind of what I think he'll do.
I think so, too.
Because Charlie gets to tee up so much further than what he does.
This isn't about Tiger.
No.
He wants it to be about Charlie.
Yeah.
You think they'll give him the same advantages, though, that he had last year?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He's still only going to...
He's going to be 12.
Yeah. I think
13.
I'm just...
Yeah.
You know.
No, I think it'll be the same. He'll be playing the same tees as Annika's dad.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And out driving him.
Oh, yeah. Probably
out he'll be driving me.
Yeah, Jesus.
So, that one I'm really looking forward to. And then there's also another made-for-TV event that's coming up. And this one, I don't necessarily dislike the idea of this event because I think it's going to be fantastic. Made for TV, guys that kind of have a grudge against each other. Do you have it pulled up there, Travis?
Yeah, I got it up. It's Brooks Koepka between Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau. It's a 12-hole match on November 26th at Wynn Golf Club in Las Vegas.
Vegas getting some love.
Yep.
Yeah, they are. They've been there 2 weeks in a row, and now they got that event.
It's on TNT.
Is it a skins game? Do you know if it's per hole, or is it just a stroke event? I would imagine it's per hole, right?
I think this said match play, but I don't
know. Yeah, that would make sense. And the idea of it being 14 holes?
12.
12 holes, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
thinking they're taking out the par threes because really, who cares?
Yeah, this is going to be all about to see how far Bryson can hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Brooks hits it a ton.
Yeah.
But is this going to be about long drive? Like, I don't understand.
That's the one thing I don't understand. They both can hit the ball a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be Bryson trying to outdrive Brooks.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. But you still got to score.
Yeah, no.
That
ain't going to win. Yeah, you do that one time out of bounds. Like, I'm not familiar with the course they're playing, but.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys know, I know Chris knows this, but Tiger and Phil weren't always friendly.
No.
Right? So, they didn't have these made-for-TV events until later on in their careers. Right. These guys, it's pretty fresh that they don't like each other.
Yeah.
They hugged it out.
They hugged it out for Ryder Cup. That was
yeah, that was horse shit.
You know, I hugged it out with people before that. Come I didn't on, like I
mean,
too.
We've already seen how Brooks can be. I mean, he can be quite
snarky.
Yeah, very snarky and almost junior high girlish.
Yeah, offering free beer to people that call Deshaun.
Yeah, come on,
Brooks.
Dude,
Brooks, eh?
Yeah, he's totally.
Hey, I wish I would have been there.
Yeah,
I would have yelled it.
He's petty.
I would have got cases of beer.
Well, you know, and let's face it. I mean, he's given that interview, and Bryson cuts behind him, and I mean, he's literally like a junior high.
Oh no, he strained his neck rolling his eyes so hard.
Yeah, I mean, he did. I mean, like, he's like a junior high girl going. Oh, God,
pulled a hamstring.
Yes. Yeah,
I still like Brooks 100 times better than Bryson.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't care if he's a meathead, you know, that kind of guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I like him way better than Bryson. I don't damage my brand. Piss off. I don't like that.
Yeah, seriously. And the way he
the fact that you said my brand makes me not like you.
Well, and the other part of it is he's always on the defense. You know, they question about something, he's always playing defense. I mean, he never does anything, and he doesn't take responsibility for
this driver sucks.
Yeah.
Or you're
better, bro.
Or you got 200 mile per hour ball speed, and it's open 2 degrees. That ball is going. Who knows?
Yeah. Yep. Somebody else's. You know, it's somebody else's fault that I lost my caddy on the day tournament starts.
Yeah, it couldn't possibly be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a common denominator there, bro.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Everything that happens to you is circled around you.
Yeah.
Well, with all that said, I'm gonna be tuning into that bitch because I want to see it.
Yeah.
I'm watching.
I want to see.
Yeah.
I almost wish it was them
beer ready to go.
I kind of wish it was them gambling for their own money. Well, we'll probably do it right here because we're gonna have two TVs up
in
here by then.
That's absolutely right.
So, what other events?
We should play
up?
The course they're playing.
Oh, we should.
Yeah,
we should.
We'll play that course.
The same yardages.
Stop it.
So I can hit driver, 5-wood, wedge back to the fairway.
You don't have 5-wood anymore, do you?
Oh, yeah, it's in the bag. Oh. I actually hit it pretty straight a couple
times. He's actually hit a couple straight ones.
Yeah.
Inch and a half long?
Yeah, it is inch and a half long.
Yeah. We're talking about the club, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Okay, it's checking.
I was in the pool.
Significant shrinkage.
So, me and Chris went down to Cuba, Illinois.
We
didn't need our passports or anything. Mm-hmm. And
although I could have,
there was some times
I could have been guarded while I was down there.
You know, we put it up to the iPhones to get us there, so we were tracking in, and we had to choose between a gravel road and then a single lane paved for a little bit.
For goodness sakes.
It was down there.
Yeah.
The course
we went through some places we'd never even seen.
Oh
before.
No, I'd never heard of most of the stuff down there.
Yeah.
And the course is called?
Wematuck Hills Country Club.
Wematuck Hills Country Club. And a little back history on Wematuck is it had closed for over a year. And the ownership or the membership there, the community. The community.
Yeah.
It's right next to a lake, like several lakes. There's like a 140-acre lake right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, the thing sat dormant. We're all going to pony up the money,
yeah.
And we're going to buy this thing and we're going to restore it.
Mm-hmm.
So they offer this deal to everybody out there. You kick in a certain amount of money and you are a shareholder. You are one of the owners.
An equal shareholder. Yeah. He says nobody has one more power than anybody else.
Which I think is brilliant for them to take ownership anymore. Like, take it out of this guy's hands.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This is now on us. And, you know, for themselves to keep their property value up, if I'm being honest, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then to have everybody buy in as a shareholder, well, now they're going to feel like, hey, this is part of our community. We're going to keep putting into it. We're going to take care of it. We want it there for future generations.
Right.
I think it's a brilliant idea. And the superintendent there has done a great job of restoring it. It's Mr. Seth Smith.
Yeah.
Met him today, and we went around and looked at a few things on the course, and he was going through the things that he had to do, and we'll be posting a lot of pictures of it and where it's at now. Me and Chris played it on Sunday.
Yep.
We walked it. It was 6.5 miles.
Yeah.
It's not a very walk-friendly course just because there's a lot of
But that's because they had kind of – there's a combination of newer
and old.
Holes.
Yeah, there's a few holes
so
that have been rebuilt.
So they kind of had to kind of weird some ways to get to the next hole. And then they had sharp, you know, you could see the old signs, like, we come to 10, and they're like, this doesn't look like a par 5.
Yeah, and it literally said it was like
580-something.
Yeah, 580-something, and we couldn't see the green.
Yeah.
So we get up and just ripping on a drive as hard as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We come over the hill, and like, oh, hey, I got 130 left. I must have hit that thing like 4 bills.
Yeah,
right.
Seriously.
Like, it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a few of those things that they're still trying to work out, but I just thought it was kind of a really cool story, mm-hmm. especially with the stories that we've been experiencing lately mm-hmm. in golf and our little corner of the golfing universe.
Right.
So what do you think of the course?
I thought the course was a lot of fun, especially there was about 9 holes there that were literally great.
Yeah.
And they'd put them all back together. They were in good shape. Greens running nice. Everything looked good. You could tell with the older parts of the course, there was some, and you had talked about the trees, the shade was kind of killing off the grass that they were trying to grow in.
Tell it hadn't filled in quite as fast as some other spots. Yep. And, they would have some shade issues. And like I told some people there today, it's like, look, you got to give kudos to Seth because he was growing this thing in. Mm-hmm. In record heat summer, we had so many days of triple-digit heat indexes, mm-hmm. and they're further south than we are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I really gave him kudos for what he had accomplished to that point. And he was like, yeah, we're hoping to do X, Y, and Z going into next year. Mm-hmm. They're eliminating a bunch of the bunkers. I think they're going to take it all the way down to 11 bunkers total.
Yeah.
And, they're going to rework
those. And the bunkers
they
did have really weren't a factor.
No, they weren't in play, really.
Yeah, they're just not a factor. Although I was still entertained by the two little pot bunkers.
Yeah, he said they're going to go in front of, I believe it was number 11.
Yeah.
Which, if you're doing a link style, which this is quasi-link style,
it's
but not really.
It's quasi-link, yeah.
If we play it, or when we play it again, there's, what, Chris, half a dozen holes at least.
Oh, we would have definitely
We would definitely play different.
Yeah, we
because it was so many
angles.
Blind shots.
Yeah, there's blind shots, and you have to angle it. And I had to laugh.
You have to shape the shots.
Yeah, you really do. And I had to laugh about the one hole. You're like, you're hitting driver here? That's going to end up in somebody's breakfast nook over there.
And it would have, wouldn't it?
And it would have had I really, kind of mishit it a little bit.
Yep.
And you
still ran through.
And still ran through. But, if I had actually hit the drives that I'd been hitting, I would have
You would have had to knock off. You had to ring their doorbell.
Yeah, I would have had to put it off.
That's funny.
Playing through. Thanks.
Hey, you had a top flight in here? That'd be mine.
Is that an egg sandwich? I'll take that. But it was a lot of fun, and I thought the really cool thing too is talk about the people buying into the membership. We're coming up on a hole, and what do you have? You have a guy who's just part of the membership, but they've got some grub issues, and the guy's
literally
he's literally trying to put the course back in gear.
Yeah, he's laying the sod back over.
That's, mm-hmm. that's what he was saying before, but that's once you get to that point, and I've been through it, you've been through it, or whatever. You just try and piece that stuff together, and try and go into next year.
Yep.
Well, they're just holding on for the, just like every other course, we're just trying to hold on until it gets really, really cold.
Yeah, and we're going to have frost here in a few days, and then it's all going to be forgotten.
Yep.
But, I thought it was really cool. Just the whole atmosphere there.
Mm-hmm.
We came in, and it was, unfortunately, Bears-Packers weekend,
mm-hmm.
and there was so many Bears and Packers fans in the bar when we stopped in there for food, which was fantastic.
All
the
food was awesome. Yeah, we can talk about that another time.
Yeah, that's
really good stuff.
The food was great. The atmosphere was great. The Bears were winning for a minute, and then the wheels came off.
Everybody greeted us.
Everybody.
Hey, nice to see
everybody.
You guys. Good morning. It was everything was about it. One of the last things they said to us, hey, bring your friends.
Yep. They said, come down again and bring friends. So it wasn't like they were buying in to it as a private membership. They know, side their bread is buttered on. We need revenue.
Yeah, you're not talking about a tourist mecca down there.
No.
But you are talking about a place that if you're really a golf enthusiast, which is one of the reasons why we went down there
to begin with.
We'd seen these things online.
We'd heard the story earlier in the year.
Yeah, and there was a story in the Chicago Trib and everything about it. And if you're a golf enthusiast, you want to go discover this place. First of all, the drive down there was a hoot.
Yeah,
because we've never been through here, and you think in Central Illinois, and you're like, wow, and then we're trying to determine which was the next closest city, and they told us,
it's technically in Cuba, but Canton, which is a fairly large town,
mm-hmm.
Relatively speaking for the Midwest, and also in Fulton County, and there's only
one golf course.
Fulton County, all of Fulton County.
Oh no shit!
And hat size 9 1/4. Weematuck.
Seriously.
Weematuck. I'm sorry. Weematuck.
Okay. You knew it was coming.
I knew. He was going to fit it in there at some point.
Bazinga. that was a real surprise to me. And when I was talking to Seth today, he said, there used to be a private club in Canton.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same owner of both.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought if he closed one, it would force play to
the other.
And that's not exactly how it went down.
Yeah, it's usually not how it went
down. No, the camp membership.
You closed down one in Aledo. And,
it could have been really beneficial for the other course here in Mercer County.
Yeah.
But it did not play that well for the new owner.
Somebody's a jackass.
Well, I'm going to say owner, air quote.
Air quote.
like leaser. Then there's leasee. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Lessee.
Lessee?
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. Whatever sounds more
dumbass.
Feminine.
Dipshit.
So, that's what I'm gonna call him. So anyway, I did not play that well there. I know
neither one of us did, but I mean,
I think it was part of us. Like there were so many shots that we weren't really clear on where to go. You needed to play it a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, the one hole in particular where I think you and I both took like eights. I mean,
oh yeah,
we had no idea where the heck we were going.
No,
and it just kept going around and around. It was almost like I felt, are we circling back to the tee
box?
Yeah,
it was like a big J hook.
it was bad.
And really, all you would have had to do was hit a 5-iron out, and then an 8-iron.
You would
have
had to look at the green, and you would have been.
It would have been fine, but no.
I saw the guys that actually play there, and they were having a hell of a time. They were in the trees as much as we were. So
it was, and then the par fives. Which par fives typically on an older course, like I know the original nine was built in the 50s there. You're not going to have those 600 yard holes. And we legit had par fives that
was along 580. That one lake there. Holy
water balls. All down the right hand side. And it was like 580.
Yeah. And it was,
I knew where I was going.
Oh my gosh. We just
kinda, and then the one on the way back also
was the
curved.
Same, yeah, curved, and that was the one where we got in trouble a little bit. And
off the tee.
Off the tee, but I mean that
water
that,
all down the right side again.
Right side,
but it's okay if you pulled it left. You were in those big trees.
Yeah, towering just, oaks on the left.
It was just, and then we finished that one. And I hit my best drive of the day.
Yeah.
On 17.
Yeah.
Finishing hole there is a little par three, which they talk about. Everybody lines up around the green. It's right next to the clubhouse.
Yeah.
And they all like park around the green and let people hit in as they're. In these events,
it's too bad they weren't there Sunday because I had a really nice shot in there.
You did. I sculled mine a little bit.
Did you make the putt?
I did not make the putt. I ended up with a par, but it was.
He ended up with the par and lost by one.
And lost by one.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep, it does. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So me and Travis are actually going to play golf tomorrow. I'm super excited about it.
It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. Are you walking?
No.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think so. So the studio's coming around a little bit more here. We got the chipping area pretty much done with the new hitting mat, targets, netting. We are really getting dialed in for the November opening.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that a little bit more.
Next podcast.
But, Travis, what else we got?
I'm hoping to hit the ball good tomorrow.
You excited?
A little bit, yeah.
I bet you're going to be sore. Your back's
going to
hurt.
Well, I had to walk a lot in Dubuque over the weekend, so...
Oh, is that your excuse?
My calf muscle hurts bad.
Your calf muscle hurts.
Oh,
and
my
God. How's your liver feeling?
Well, I'm drinking a beer, so it's all right.
All right, all right.
There you go.
I'll probably have a beer while we play tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, the next event, anybody got that up?
I don't.
Okay.
I do not.
I'll wait. Dead air.
You wait,
dead air.
Ozone Championship. Tiger won it last year.
And where's that at?
Oh, there it is. So the Zozo Championship is going to be it's at the Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club. I have no clue. Let's see.
Accordia Golf. Oh, yeah, Narashino. Yep, you're right.
Yep, Narashino Country Club. It's Japan. In Japan. It's in the Enzai Chiba Prefecture.
Well, is that an Australasian event then, or is it a PGA event?
Yeah.
No, it's a PGA event.
Yep.
That's kind of weird.
Yep, it used to be the Japan Open, Japan Airlines Open, Japan Open Golf Championship, Japan PGA Championship.
And the one we were talking about with Tiger is the QBE shootout.
Yep, that's right.
At Tiburon.
So here locally, over the summer, we had the John Deere Classic. Mm-hmm. And Chris is one of the volunteers out there for many, many years running.
Long time volunteer.
So, Chris, you want to give us a little recap of the John Deere Classic and your experience there?
So this year's John Deere Classic was a very surreal event. It was the first time it skipped a year because of COVID. And then they had some rules about coming in, for me, if I'm going to be transporting players and cars and things like that, we had to wear a mask and offer a mask to them. Most players did not take the mask. All of them had been taking the shot and so on. But it was just surreal because you're used to long throngs of people, following people around, say Zach or Steve Stricker and things like that. It was like a ghost town. You know, the first day was the most crowded of the day because it's the pro-am and a lot of families come out and things like that. Even then, they had to cut it short because we had rain, so the second half of the groups had to only play nine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, I was not used to the quiet, and 14, the hole I generally work at, has got a bowl, thing there, and usually on Sundays, you'll get a big pile of people that go all the way up the the hill back towards 13 tee box, you know, and they'll be hanging out up there, and you can just hear it. One roar this year, and that was Kevin Na, and that was it. I mean, even the winner, I mean, he made a birdie putt too, I think, on the last day. Nobody. It was crickets. There wasn't a lot of folks around. I mean, Pork Chop Hill was barely Pork Chop Hill. They only had so many things open. You know, usually with the Pro-Am, they would have restaurants there giving people sandwiches and, you know.
The big thing at the John Deere Classic is the pork chop sandwich.
Yep.
Yeah, they sell tons.
Tons.
Tons of pork chop sandwiches.
Ice cream.
And Whitey's ice cream.
And Whitey's ice cream.
Which, both fantastic.
Outstanding.
Yep. So, it makes me wonder, you know, how much money did they, I don't want to say lose.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have the usual skyboxes.
Yeah.
They had, everything was wide open, so if it was... They had built like a skybox, but it was just open. All they had is enough to keep you from the sun and the rain if it rained.
That was it.
Which we had plenty of during this entire tournament.
Yeah.
Every day past the Pro-Am had rain.
It wasn't quite as hot as usual, though.
Nope. No, but I remember it rained.
Yeah, it was just nasty
and
muggy.
And rained and rained. And well, played through, I mean, the second round, they played almost exclusively in the rain all day.
Really?
I don't think anybody had a dry moment.
I think it was 2 years ago, I got kind of the luxury box there over 16,
mm-hmm.
which was great. And then, what was it, maybe 4 or 5 years ago that we were observers and we walked with a group?
Walked with a group.
So we went, we were honorary observers, which means we got introduced at the first tee.
Yep.
And then we walked with, I don't remember the three guys.
I couldn't tell you who we had.
It wasn't...
it wasn't anybody of consequence.
No, it wasn't Duff, Shank, and anybody else.
Yeah.
It was... I don't remember, but one of the things that I took away from the time that we, mm-hmm. we walked with them is everybody hits bad shots.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the caliber of the recovery shot is way different.
Way different.
But these guys are, they all hit the ball so far, and their swing speeds are so fast,
mm-hmm.
that their smallest little mishits go in places that they don't want them to, obviously.
Right. Yep.
But their recovery shots are the what's on a different level. And then their short games.
Yeah.
You know, ball striking... Obviously, he's clean for mm-hmm. the most part. You don't really ever see them mishit a full swing shot that poorly.
No.
No, poorly to us is...
Well, it'd be what like is, Jason Day did the other day. He absolutely topped one off the tee box.
Yeah, I've seen you know, lots of players do that. We've seen Darren Clark in a I don't think it was a major, but he straight kissed one off the hosel.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times.
Yeah, we've
yes,
seen,
you have.
You see
I've done that.
That
a few times.
You see that stuff happen. You know, you see guys, you know, chili dip one mm-hmm. around the green. But it's the next shot they're probably going to make, you know, or that kind of thing. So that, to me, the experience that we had walking with them was one of those that I took away. Like, they're obviously crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a small, you know, factor between the winner on tour and a guy who's barely hanging on.
Right.
They're not that much of a different player. It's mm-hmm. just that incremental step.
Yeah, the margin of error that you have in golf is just...
But let's think about it. You know, I remember the first time...
Which can be said with a lot of sports.
I remember the first time working the tournament, and I'm like, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but then I'm like, but then how good is Tiger?
Yeah.
How good is... How good was Phil?
How good was Tiger in, what was that, 2000 that he just dominated all that?
I mean, seriously, I said to myself, I said, how good is he? Then he just was amazed. It's like, you know, you look at it and you're going, man, these guys are good, but how good are the other guys?
Yeah.
You know, the guys we don't see at the Classic.
Right.
You know, but then you also realize that, I mean, you begin to realize that there's a mental aspect to them being in the game. And Jordan Spieth, of course, wins his first tournament with us.
Yep.
And then what happens? Then the kid just explodes, and it's like all of a sudden something must click in their head that says, I can do this.
They
and
got
I don't...
the taste of that win.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he knew he could do it, but then he also
But you also see
off,
guys that win tournaments but don't do anything again. I mean,
yep.
What was it? Emelman won the Masters.
Trevor.
What has he done?
Well, now he announces on NBC or
CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who was the other?
You know what he doesn't do when he's on there? He doesn't shank one.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's like, my check clears either way, bro.
Yep.
Just absolutely.
But I'm getting paid.
Who was the kid that beat Spieth? You know, when Spieth choked it off at 16 at the Masters, the British kid. I mean, what has he done? Danny Willett. You know, what has he done? Nothing. I mean,
he still plays.
He still plays, but
he's got a 10-year exemption because of that Masters win.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that and you're like, man, they won a if they win a Masters, and I mean, you look at Jordan, he's won both the John Deere Classic and a Masters and a British Open, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
What clicks in for those guys? Because I look at all the guys that they played this year, and I mean, you see some of the guys that are real personalities, Harry Higgs. I mean, that guy was a
He played really well at this last week's, too.
Yeah, and
you guys know, buttoned all the way up.
Buttoned all the way down. Like, yeah, it's hysterical to watch him.
Showing off those four red hairs poking out.
And what people don't realize is he is really the personality that they talk about. And he's
made TikTok videos and everything.
He curses up a storm. He did a bad shot on 14. It's one of those things where you talk about a recovery shot where he got into the bowl there, and he's trying to chip it up to the green. And, I mean, I watched a number of pros not make it all the way up, and it comes all the way back down. And as it's coming down, there is a stream of profanities as it's just rolling back to him.
It's still in motion, he's just letting them fly.
But then the next shot he hits and puts it, like, right next to the hole. I'm like, oh, man, I'd be so mad. I don't think I could even muster up enough to put it next to the hole.
So who won the Classic this last year?
That was Lucas Glover, who I had in my car during one of the rain delays and had a –
That's right.
Lovely conversation about the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Lucas Glover, U.S. Open winner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he won his U.S. Open at Bethpage Black probably 10 years ago.
It's got to be more than that.
More than 10 years?
Maybe it's more than 10 years. Great guy. I mean, a lot of fun. He was very complimentary. I think that was a great story. You know, his family was here, and things like that. And
he's kind of an aw shucks guy, too.
Yeah, he really is. He's
kind of like a
South Carolinian.
Scotty Scheffler, even though I think Scheffler's from Texas, but kind of an aw shucks guy, too.
He really is. He's not too big of himself. You know, he knows he's got limitations in his game, and he's had struggles, but he's stuck with it. And, the people around him were very positive people. His caddy was a hoot listening to him talk, and saying, that last tournament, Luke, he's hammering him about a bad shot. And he goes, well, it was bad club selection, if I remember.
So they've been around together for a while.
They just did it. But he was a lot of fun to listen to, and he was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, he really didn't do anything spectacular.
Right.
Whereas I was watching, it was interesting to see Kevin Na, who I was surprised to see him there, to be honest.
I was too, a little bit.
Yeah. And Kevin Na could not have been any nicer. I mean, he was a great guy to people. He was talking to fans. He had an Asian contingent following him the whole time.
Kevin Na turned pro right out of high school, if I remember right.
Yep.
And I just thought it was kind of funny watching, they used to make fun of John Daly because he had, six or seven different sponsors on his shirts.
Right.
And it's just kind of cluttered with, 84 Lumber and, Jimmy John's Quick Lube and all that, kind of stuff.
Yep.
So seeing Kevin Na's shirt, it took me a minute to figure out what the hell is even on there. Like, it's a thing of him trying to, walk up and get the ball before.
Oh, on the back?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
no, it's him getting the ball out of the hole.
Yeah, but he's walking before it's in the hole.
Yeah. That's,
which is kind of his stick.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then what is the other thing it says on there? Like, I want to say NAIA.
Yeah,
which I don't know what the hell that even means.
I have no idea. Right.
But he's got such weird things on there that I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
which is good for you, man. Market the crap out of it. I dig it, but...
Yeah, I mean, he was fighting for the lead in the last day.
People,
and he had a great following.
Oh, yeah. That no, and he went one, low.
Yeah, he went low, and I mean, he choked it off on 15.
Yeah.
Planted it in the...
Which is easy to do on 15.
Yeah, and they've made it even harder now, I see.
Yeah, that's one of them that they really did rework the bunkers, and they're still reworking them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you go play TPC, you're going to be, I think, two holes short because they close two holes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just making it ground under repair, they're eliminating those holes altogether.
Yep. Well,
which I
want to
say they
equipment.
Were doing.
Yeah, they got a lot of equipment on the grounds and everything, too.
Yeah,
so
I think they're working on 15 and 16 right now,
16,
I believe.
Yep.
So you come off of 13 and you just bypass that,
yep.
and you're basically going right to, I think they actually loop you back around to play the back again.
I think they might, yeah.
So anyway, just be advised on that, even though you've probably only got another couple of weeks and they'll be closing the doors anyhow.
Closing the doors pretty quickly, I'm sure.
So next year, I believe they're kicking the Classic back a few weeks?
The weekend before the 4th, I believe, the last weekend of June.
Okay, so they're actually moving it up.
Yeah, so they're moving it sooner, and so then... What they're hoping is that those guys that are going to the Scottish Open,
we'll go there first.
We'll go there first, and then they get the plane. They still have the plane.
Right.
And they'll take the plane to the Scottish Open.
So typically the John Deere Classic is the week before the British Open, And a lot of the bigger name PGA players will go to the Scottish Open to get their practice round or practice tourney in in European conditions before the British.
Yep.
What John Deere Classic has done is they offer their corporate jet for anybody that wants...
Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, I thought it was the John Deere corporate jet.
Dallas Mavericks.
Mark Cuban?
Yeah, it's his plane.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they because one year...
Well, it used to be the John Deere's plane.
Yeah, it used to be John Deere's plane, but they rent out the Dallas Mavericks.
So actually, they do like a net jets thing?
Yeah, net jets thing kind of thing.
So they get a big old jet airliner to take them directly from Moline Airport to...
Straight there?
Straight to Europe. So they don't have to, they can still play in the
baggage,
event.
No putting your clubs in a place you
it's all good.
It's all good.
So that was kind of their way of saying, hey, if you, you know, come here and then you're going to get to go straight over there. Well, the year that Vijay Singh won it, they remember they had it in September. And he came back and defended too that next year, which was great.
Yep.
So the idea is to get better players at the John Deere Classic. And I don't say better, more high profile players.
Right.
And with that in mind, they're going to play there, then go to the Scottish. They'll get the same ride over, and then they'll still be there for the British.
And a lot of the player, the upper echelon players, will say, "Hey, we come here one because it's one of the friendliest tournaments they play in all year."
Right.
You know, but it also is that the jet makes it easier for them. They're
finished. Oh yeah, you don't have to do
whether
all
they
the
make
other
the
BS.
Cut or not. I mean, the guys that don't make the cut, you can still see them out on the range, you know, hitting balls and waiting for. Everything.
They're practicing.
They're practicing.
Waiting for their ride.
Yep. So, but I mean, it's a good thing, I think.
Well, and you guys think. I would assume that it'll be a full field of or a full slate of events next year with no restrictions.
Right.
I'm assuming so.
Which will be crazy.
I mean, honestly, I mean, I think people were just nervous to come out this year. Plus, it was all pre-sales. There was no sales at the gate.
Oh,
and that
okay.
kept the numbers down as well. In the past, you'd always could buy a ticket.
Yeah, I was going to say you could show up to...
You could show up on any day and buy in to get into the course. This year they would not allow that. You had to buy everything online, and I think that kept the numbers down. But I think people were just nervous. I think there was a lot of – I mean, you're just now a year coming out of it, and there are still masks everywhere, and people were just nervous. But I think next year –
In Illinois, anyway.
Yeah.
Iowa, there's not nearly as many masks.
All the football games that we've seen this fall and all the baseball games that we've seen this
clearly
year.
Clearly, when Iowa hosted Penn State, there was – no concern about masks because that place was packed.
Oh, it was packed. Well, I mean, look at a game in Michigan. I mean, any of these
I would
places.
Say, Ann Arbor has 110,000 people in that stadium.
Yeah, the big house.
Well, it started this year with, you know, they show like Virginia Tech was one of the first games, you know, and they're like, oh, this could be a super spreader event.
Yeah.
They play, you know, Inner Sandman and stuff. There's nothing that has suggested that the numbers have come up after each of those games.
Nope.
Nothing. No. And that's a good thing. You know, it doesn't suggest that this thing never existed. It just suggests that things are safer or people are being smarter about it or it's starting to slow down.
Well, Iowans drink a lot of Busch Light, so.
That could
and
be
you think,
that
think
could
that's
be a
in,
helpful thing.
Kills
is
it.
That in the Moderna shot, too?
Didn't you have this, Junior?
Yeah.
Okay, so Busch Light didn't save you. It may have really helped you recover.
It did. I recovered real quick.
Yeah.
He got it. Didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Zero.
COVID-19 can't swim in Busch Latte.
No kidding.
All right, so I'm looking forward to the Classic being back, like kind of full tilt again.
Yep.
And I actually think we should go there during the week of the event. I'm assuming you're going to still be volunteering.
I'll always be volunteering. And
how many years have you done that?
So this year coming up will be, I think, year 17.
Year 17 of – so you were – well, when was I
– I started out at Deer Run the first year after
Oak Run.
Oakwood. Oakwood. And so I've done it, and then there was a little space in there where I was working with you guys and things like that.
But that's when we actually did the...
Yeah. And so, and I mean, and I've watched the tournament change. It's been kind of cool to watch it, you know, going...
Mature.
It's matured, and it's you know, some of the
He's
things...
He's an educator. He said matured.
Matured.
I am an educator.
Yeah.
But, no, it's just, it's really cool to see
how
mature things,
of you.
Yeah. How things have changed and how they handle the players, they still handle... The players like they were just family. They have things for them to do. They have things for their kids to do. I mean, Steve Stricker always brings his whole family there. Everybody brings their whole family. I think one of the funniest things I think I ever saw
Zach would be bringing his
Keegan Bradley showed up one year, and I'm in Coal Valley, and they go out to the they called the Big Dig out in Coal Valley. They have a facility. John Deere has a facility out there in Coal Valley, and I saw a gorgeous looking BMW come down at the stoplight, and I'm like. that card is not even sold in the Quad Cities.
I was going to say, shouldn't be around here.
Shouldn't even be around here anyway. And it's like, and of course, that's right up there, you know, by where they house all those kids that have got trouble. So I'm thinking,
oh, yeah.
You know, God.
Arrowhead.
Arrowhead.
another high point of the Quad Cities.
Yeah,
Arrowhead boys home.
Yeah, the Arrowhead, and you know, God, don't park it anywhere close to that because that thing's going home without
tires. Oh boy! Oh boy!
No stereo, no tires, and a new paint job,
or in need of one.
Oh yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm looking forward to it being, you know, the full schedule back next year.
Yep.
With all the, I don't want to say little quirky events, but the side events. You
I
know,
think
that,
some of the side events are a lot like of fun. There's some
getting
really
all those back and kind of full.
Well, and they had enough people win this year that they can start that Hawaii, you know.
Oh, yeah. They actually,
they'll have a tournament of champions at Kapalua. Yeah, they had enough tournaments this year that they'll have a good field. And, I mean, it should be a really good field.
Yeah, no, and it's going to be a very young field.
Yeah, very young field. And considering who all won last year, yeah, it should
be. Well, the one caveat, well, no, there's a couple caveats to that. Didn't, well, Phil, mm-hmm. his PGA championship, and the English golfer that he was on the Ryder Cup team. He's 42.
Oh.
Harris English?
No.
You're thinking of, I just had it in my head too.
Yeah. Lee Westwood.
Lee Westwood.
He won, but so did the other English golfer.
Paul Casey. Paul Casey, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of cool that'll be the elder statesman, which blows my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy because those are the people we've kind of grown up
with. Right.
Or,
yeah, they were.
Or aged with them, you know.
No, it's going to be a very interesting year. I cannot wait to see the majors. And I know we're not even wrapped up with 2021 yet, but I'm really looking forward to next season and having a full slate. And, of course, the return of Tiger. He moves the needle.
Yeah, I don't want to see him come back like he tried so many times before where, you know, short game of shit. He wasn't there. You know, I hope he's going to make it. And God knows he's probably already doing a lot of this stuff that we don't know about.
He's not saying anything.
Yeah, he's not saying a whole lot, and he's not letting cameras near his properties or anything like that. So
yeah, he never has. You're not going to know.
This is going to be something that's going to come out of the blue.
Yep.
But he's going to come out prepared, you know, and you know him and JT will probably have played a few rounds, and he'll allow JT to slip a little bit.
It's going to be orchestrated.
Oh, yeah, played with Tiger.
It's going to be an Aaron Rodgers
kind of
orchestration.
Yeah, because he did that whole thing as Tiger was really starting to get himself going again, and JT's like, man, you guys don't understand.
Yep. Well, It's Tiger.
The father-son.
Yeah.
That was all about JT stirring that, man.
Oh, yep. He stirred that pot big time.
And he drew, I mean, JT helped move the needle. And you forget, JT and his dad won that thing.
Yeah.
And he was out there more touting it for Charlie than he was for his own benefit.
Well, and they played up to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're leaving notes in the sand trap, you know, giving him some crap and coming up behind him and hitting him with the golf club, you know.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to those things.
You know what I'm going to miss, though, and I'm hoping that it doesn't go away. It kind of reminded me of the Shell's Wonderful World of Golf, this little special events that we had during this. Mm-hmm. You know, the Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning and all that stuff with Charles.
I think they've got enough. I think they saw enough return on it.
I think they'll still do it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think they've seen enough. And you know, and Phil, they're going to want to keep him going.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and get some of
those. And let's be honest, Phil wants to keep going.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he loves social media.
Loves it.
Yeah, and I mean, and it'll be
he knows where the cameras are at.
By December, they're going to be issuing who's had the best followings and who's done the most.
Which, Chris, explain that a little bit.
So the PGA put out last year that if you have so many followers, so many likes, so many things that you do and how active you are, there's a payoff, and it's in the hundreds of thousands.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, it's like in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It's for Instagram, correct?
Yeah, it's like $250,000. And Jim Herman was the guy I was thinking about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Herman's kind of a journeyman, you know, pro who's played around it. But he's making fun of, like, people like Max Homa and Joel Dahman who have huge followings. You know, Max Homa especially. That guy is hysterical. He's the guy that grades people's swings and makes hilarious comments on their swings. They say, oh, yeah, Max, go ahead and grade this one. And he's like, oh, your mother should have buried you at birth or some weird stuff like that.
Was it Keith Mitchell? He was leading for a while at this last event. I bet he's getting a bigger following. And he actually played golf against, you know, I tell you guys a lot about the GM golf or Good.
Yep.
He played, it was him and a guy from the Corn Ferry Tour.
Mm-hmm.
they played against two guys from Good Good, and they didn't close them out until the last two holes of an 18-hole match play.
That was 2v2. Kevin Kisner that I saw played with Barstool.
Yeah, Kisner, no, it wasn't Kisner. It was Dom. Who was the other one that has a big following? Domer?
Oh, Joel Dahmen.
Joel Dahmen. He played against those two guys and beat them. Like, so it was two guys against one.
Right, there you go.
And he won. He beat them, and then the next week he goes out and he wins. Like, I want to say it was Puerto Rico or Mexico City or something like that.
Yeah, some weird tournament.
But he goes out and wins. So, but that dude was funny.
And Dahmen will say things like, well, you know, I'm out of the cut, so who's going to meet me at this course? And he will actually go out and play with people.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And that's how he gets all of his following, you know. Yep. And so funny, you know. And I've noticed with Twitter, like, if I see players that are on Twitter that come to the Classic, I'll just send them a note and say, hey, saw you on 14. And they do answer back.
Oh, nice.
They'd say, hey, it was good to see you. I remember you. You're the big guy with the bald head or, you know, the crazy orange hat.
Nine and a quarter.
Shut it. Shut it.
Big guy with the bald head.
Yep. So, you know, there can't be any nicer, you know, to talk to them on Twitter. And Jim Herman was, you know, had great stories about his time working with Donald Trump and and his wife, you know, how she says we never have vacations, but yet
he was a pro at one of Trump's golf courses.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And he gets a phone call from his wife during the pro-am, and she's like, oh, you got to get us call Donald Trump. And he can't. He says, I can call Donald Trump and get on anywhere.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Of any of his properties and or shop or do whatever else it is, and Donald will take care of him. But he was just. But I think what's funny about him is he's one. He's a huge Cincinnati Bearcats fan, and so he tries to run it up on all these guys. But he also will make fun of all the guys. He's like, I'm going to be winning the $250,000. You know, you guys aren't winning. I'm getting followed, and his following has picked up, you know, tremendously since the Classic. You know, because he's very funny.
Yeah, good for him.
You know, but I still my favorite to watch sometimes is Max Homa because he just hammers people. He lets the average golfer know that they are horrible. He just knows it.
I think that's how Kisner is too.
Yeah, Kisner. They said
like he's not scared to tell a golfer.
Well, you know who used to be like that before social media was Woody Austin.
Oh, I could see that.
Woody Austin used to, and when he was in the pro-am at the Classic, he would come down and he goes, you guys are all terrible. He goes, I don't even know why you guys play golf.
Travis, Woody Austin's infamous for a certain event? See, the one that bashed the putter over his head?
Yeah, bashed the putter over his head, or he's taken a shot and he slipped into a lake is another one.
He literally hit himself in the head with his putter after missing. Yeah. And when I say the putter, I mean not the putter head.
It's just shaft.
The shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it several times to the point where he bent his putter.
Yeah, and he had to
finish out with his
driver.
I thought he was using maybe his 3-wood or
it
something.
Might have been. Oh, really? Wood though. he to butt with something else.
It was one of the, like I don't know. These guys are a little bit older than us.
Well, it was good to see he was on the senior tour, on the Champions Tour. Yeah, I saw his name the other day, and I'm like, he's still around.
Lee Jansen won this last weekend, by the way.
Yeah, I mean. You know, it's good to see Woody still playing because I always liked Woody when he came to the Classic because he would bust people's chops.
He was one of those guys that wore the Tabasco shirts back in the day.
Yeah.
Like
he had the Tabasco head cover.
Yeah. Like it's just kind of a
weird
thing for a guy who has a parrot head as a head cover, but whatever.
But
I don't know. I just thought that was kind of weird.
Weird
thing for those guys.
But he was a kill. And I mean, there's some of those guys that are just before social media.
Back when Tom Lehman was like the spokesman for Docker Pants.
Docker pants.
Dockers were the thing.
They still make those, don't they?
I don't know. I'm not going to say whether or not I have a pair.
That's out of my.
I'd have to
you don't know what Dockers are?
I know what Dockers are, but.
I'd have to go into the Husky section.
Yeah.
Zip it.
I'm bigger than you are.
Huh? No, you're not. Not pants.
Okay, we're not talking. Okay,
we're starting to get silly. We're gonna
lose our spot here at the crossroads if we keep this up. We
got to
make
out.
Another deal.
I'm sorry, boys, you're gonna have to go.
All right, so that's a wrap for me.
It's a wrap for me.
Me too.
All right, guys, we'll catch you next time.
I'm gonna win tomorrow.
Okay.
Get the hell out of here.